Hello and welcome. Thanks for joining us here at Believers Victory Church. Today we have an inspiring, powerful message that will change your life. Let's listen in as Pastor Peggy Heal teaches us from the Word of God.
Good morning, good morning. It's so good to see everybody. Praise the Lord, it's great to be in church. Doesn't our parking lot look great? Looks so nice. That's our heart for the, one of our Heart for the House projects. And it just looks so fantastic. And just want to thank the person again who provided that. Just pray. This is God's house. We want to take care of it, right? Take care of it the way God would have us take care of it. And that's with excellence. Amen. You know that the temple that David built that Solomon built was so amazing that when Bathsheba saw it, the Bible says that she fainted because of its excellence and its beauty and its splendor. That's what God wants. He wants things to be excellent and them to represent him well. Amen? Well, praise the Lord. We're starting a new series today. It's just a couple of weeks. And just in prep for today, just seeking the Lord on what he would have us minister for the next couple of weeks. And, you know, we always want to be relevant because Jesus was always relevant. What Jesus taught was always about the situations people were facing. Jesus dealt with real life. Aren't you glad about that? That means that solutions for your real life are found in the Word. Sometimes people can get an idea about the Word of God that it's for only when we get to heaven. No, it's for now. It's for here. It's for my right now. Whatever situation you're facing, the Word of God has the power to let you see clearly, to get you through it, for the victory that God has for you. The Word of God is so powerful, and it is relevant. It's relevant for today. Because if you look at the problems that we have today, they're the same problems they had in the Bible. The thing about people is that we haven't really changed that much. We still have all the same issues. We have all the same hangups. They might be more complex, as in now they involve computers or this or that, but ultimately it's all the same thing. You know, we have war and we have hatred and we have things like that. Those are all the same things they had in the Word. And Jesus spoke directly to those things. He spoke directly to what people were dealing with in their lives. And so for the next 2 weeks, I want to talk about something that's going on in our nation, and that is the election. Now, before you get all excited, I'm going to talk about what we need to do for the election. The most important thing that we can do, more important than anything else, more important than all your you know, 5-inch-long comments that you're putting on Facebook, more important than that, more important than any sign you could hold, more important is that we need to pray. Amen? Everybody is saying, hey, pray, you got to pray. Everybody is quoting 2 Chronicles where it says, if my people, everybody's quoting this and is talking about prayer, but do you know how to pray? Do we even know how to pray? And so we want to make sure that we know how to pray. Amen? Because prayer isn't just for the election. Prayer is for every day. Prayer will change your life if you'll let it. The only problem with prayer is, well, there's two problems with prayer. Number one problem with prayer, the biggest problem with prayer, is that we don't do it. Here's something we have to understand. Thinking about something, talking about something, being concerned about something is not the same as praying about something. It's not the same. I wish that all the people that said, I'll pray for you, if all those people were really praying for me, I'd probably be levitating across the front end up here. There'd be so much power. I'm just joking about that. But, you know, how many times have we said, you know, just our own selves, oh, yeah, I'll pray for that. And then we think about it. We want to do it, but we just don't do it. So talking about something is not praying about something. Praying about something is taking the Word of God, taking what God has said, and taking it right into the throne room of God and talking to God about it. Amen? Prayer is a conversation between me and God. And so the number one problem with prayer is we just don't do it. We want to do it, but we have wrong ideas about it. We think if my prayer doesn't sound as good as so-and-so's prayer, then mine's not working. How many know that's not true? You know, I've prayed with people and you're just totally expecting heaven to come down at any second because they're just so powerful and they just sound so good. They got that great voice, you know, that James Earl Jones kind of voice, and they say all the right words. And it's just like, you just look at them like, you know, and I'm over here like, dear Lord, what else should I say? Right? You know, don't get intimidated with prayer. Prayer is you and God together. Don't judge your prayer based on somebody else's. Don't think you have to sound like somebody else. And don't think you have to talk in King James English. You know, some people, as soon as they start praying, the way they talk changes and everything changes. You're looking at them like, what happened, right? God wants you to be you and just go to him in prayer, amen? And so let's just talk about prayer. I talk about prayer quite a bit all throughout the year. We're a praying church. I believe in prayer. Prayer changed my life. Prayer, this church is founded on prayer. Without prayer, we can't do anything. We can't do anything. If you look behind the scenes, you're going to see prayer. Amen. And so turn over your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 and 18. This is so good. It says, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Everybody's like, what's the will of God? I always say this, the will of God is not a mystery. You can know the will of God. His word exposes the will of God for your life. And so here he says, pray. He says, rejoice always. So when should we rejoice? Always. That means in every situation, we can look at it and say, this might look bad, but because of the power of God, because of the promise I have in God, because of who God is, because of who I am to God, I'm able to say, this may be painful for me now, but I can still have joy on the inside because I know my God's going to get me through. Amen? And so he says, rejoice always, pray continually. And a lot of times people get real hung up on that pray continually because they think that means I got to lock myself in my room, right? Get down on my knees and pray all the time. How many got stuff to do? You got to go to work. You know, if you're at work, let's say that you work at McDonald's, which I love, and some of the greatest leaders from our in industry started their jobs at McDonald's. I always think that's pretty interesting. So when that young person is waiting on you at McDonald's, you never know what they're gonna be. I remember years ago they did a commercial and they had an astronaut and a congresswoman and all these amazing people, and they all said, "I got my start at McDonald's." So whenever I want, because you know I go to McDonald's every day. I go there and I order a large unsweet iced tea with extra ice. Don't forget the extra ice. And so I always think when the young people are waiting on me, I always think, you never know. This might be the person who cures something, who does, you just don't know. But that's just a whole sidetrack there. But the thing about it is, if you work at McDonald's and you're supposed to be working the drive-thru and I pull up to order my large unsweet iced tea with extra ice, and you're praying, how many know you're probably going to get in trouble? And so when this says pray continually, that doesn't mean when I'm supposed to be working the drive-thru at McDonald's and I'm like, hold on, I can't take your order. I'm praying. Give me a minute. That's not what that means. Here's what that means. It means have prayer in your entire life. It means prayer needs to be part of your whole life. We need to have a lifestyle of prayer where it means we pray continually. It means we're going to pray first. Pray first. So you know how I'm going to pray continually for this day? I'm going to start this day with prayer. Amen? Prayer needs to be in every part of our life. before we take a phone call when we're at work and you know, and it's an important phone call, you know, in just a few seconds, you can pray and release the power of God over that phone call. Just ring, ring. Father, I thank you that I have favor in Jesus' name, that you fill my mouth with the right words to say, and that you bless this conversation. Hello, it's Peggy. How can I help you? That was quick, but it's powerful. It's a couple things about prayer people don't understand. Number one, they don't have to be long. A lot of people don't pray because they think all prayer needs to be long. Prayer doesn't need to be long. Prayer needs to be filled with the word, amen, and filled with faith. If it's filled with the word, if you pray according to the word and it's filled with faith, the best prayers you can say can be quick. And then there's times where we have long prayer. But to pray continually just means that prayer is part of every part of my life. It's part of my job. It's part of my marriage. It's part of my finances. It's part of my health. It's part of my everyday. Pray continually. Let prayer become part of our lives. Prayer needs to be my first response. My first response. Not, has it come to that? You know, Pastor Scott and I have a joke in our house, and it's a joke, but we'll say, let's pray about this. And then we'll joke and say, has it come to that? Because so often we let things go and go and go before we pray about them. But our rally cry needs to be, let's pray first. How much better would our day at work go if we prayed first? How much better would our kids' day at school go if we prayed over them first? Amen? Just things are better with prayer. Why? Because we're taking whatever it is and we're putting the word of God on it. And when we do that, it's always going to be better. So he says, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Notice it doesn't say give thanks for all circumstances. It says in all circumstances. That means no matter what I'm going through, I can thank God that he's going to pull me through. He's going to pull me through. So prayer should be our first response, not our last resort. Amen. Let's make that our rally cry. Let's say, you know what? If I heard anything in today's message, let it be that. The prayer is going to be my first response, not my last resort. Amen. Let's not wait till we're just beat up and laying on the floor, just half dead, and then say, Lord. Amen. And we can save ourselves so much trouble, so much heartache, so much of whatever if we would pray first. And so if we hear anything today, let's hear that. I'm going to pray first. I always say that prayer should be like bookends. We should do it at the beginning of our day and at the end of our day. And then all through our day. But especially at the beginning and especially at the end. And so one scripture that I've been seeing a lot, and this is what really kind of sparked me to want to preach this message, and that's 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. And he says, when I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, or command locusts to devour the land, or send a plague among my people. And then this is what, raise your hand if you've seen this lately or if somebody said this to you. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin. And here's what we're hearing all over the place, and will heal their land. Everybody, this scripture gets so popular right around anything going on with our nation. And that's what it's for. And I don't want to make light of that. That's what it's for, because this is the truth. He says, if my people, and what that tells me, I'm a child of God. And it says, if my people, that means that I have a part to play in these days that we live in. Did you hear that? I have a part to play. When we're looking from the outside, looking in at everything going on and everything that's happening, we need to remind ourselves, I have a part to play. I'm important right now. You are important right now. He says, if my people who are called by my name, are you a Christian? If you're a Christian, then you have a role to play in these last days that we are living in. You have a part to play. You have a responsibility that belongs to you. God is saying, listen, if you're called by my name, you have a responsibility for your nation. And that's for wherever you live. If you are called by my name, you have a responsibility for your nation. And he says this, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then. So this scripture, it has an if. It's not automatic. There's an if and there's a then. If you'll do this, then this will happen. But you and I, we are who this scripture is talking about. We have a responsibility to not just be the loud mouse, to not just be the people that have an opinion, because our opinions, they belong to you, and praise God that we can share them and we can speak our opinions and we have freedom of speech. Praise God for that. I'm grateful for that. I'm here preaching the gospel because of that. Amen. Thank God for that. But even more than that, I have a responsibility to pray. Because my prayer is going to do more than anything else I do. My prayer is going to, the Bible says in James 5:16, the effectual, fervent prayers. That means, effectual means I'm praying the word. Fervent means that I'm going after it. I'm serious with what I'm doing. The effectual, fervent prayers, I love the Amplified says, makes much power available. How many believe that our nation needs power? The power of God. Amen. It's got a whole lot of other stuff, but it needs the power of God. And 2 Chronicles says that I'm his people. I'm God's people. And this is my land. I have a responsibility to pray. And we can't take it lightly. We can't expect only other people to do it. No, he says, if you're called by his name, it's your responsibility. Amen? You know, we love being Christians, don't we? Being a Christian is awesome. We get all of our sins forgiven. We get the power of God working in our life. We get the mercy of God. We get to pray to God. We get to spend time with God. We get to worship God. He heals our bodies. He straightens us out. He helps us. He pulls us out of the pit. I mean, the list goes on and on. He mends our broken hearts. He gives us the mind of Christ. I mean, the list goes on and on of how awesome it is to be a Christian. But along with all that awesomeness is a responsibility. Amen? Is a responsibility. And part of that responsibility is being a person of prayer. Not just talking about stuff, not just thinking about stuff, but going to God in prayer about stuff. Amen? And so let's just talk about prayer for the next few minutes. You guys ready? I'm going to teach you to pray, but I'm going to use Jesus to do it. In Luke 11:1, turn over there, Luke 11:1. This is when all the disciples were with Jesus, and it says, one day, Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray. Lord, teach us to pray. So what does that tell me? We don't automatically know how to pray. And really, another translation says, Lord, teach us to pray like that. Because here's the thing about all those disciples, they all grew up memorizing prayers. They all grew up memorizing prayers. But then Jesus comes in, and it's like he breathed fresh air into the prayer. And he was praying in a manner that they had never really seen before. And so once he's done, they looked at him and they said, man, teach us to pray like that. Teach us to pray like that. And, you know, I'll be honest with you. When I grew up really not in a prayer-filled home or anything like that, we went to church occasionally and everything. So I never really understood prayer. I mean, my idea of prayer was, you know, the this is not even a good prayer in my opinion. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. And if I die before I wake... What a terrible, I mean, it's like, listen, you might die before you wake up, so let's teach you this little prayer. I mean, seriously, that's not a life-filled prayer. And so they had learned all these memorized prayers, probably not that one. I don't think they learned that one, no. But they had learned all these memorized prayer, and then Jesus comes, and Jesus is praying, and they're like, man, teach us to pray like that. And I remember some of the first times when I got... into the Word of Faith movement, which if you don't know, that's what you're in. Amen. We're in the Word of Faith. That means we believe the Word. We believe from beginning to end. We just say, we'll take it all. We're not going to take any out. We're not going to add any in. We'll take it all. When I got into Word of Faith and they would have prayer at church. So I would go. I've never seen anything like it. People were excited to be there. They were happy to be there. They were praying, and it was just so powerful. And actually, I always say that Pastor Norm is one of the people who taught me to pray. Because him and Pastor Mark and other people, they would be there and they'd be praying. And I was just, I'd never seen anything like it. I'd never heard anything like it. I'd never been in it before. And there was so much life in it. And I felt I didn't say it, but I was just like, man, teach me to pray like that. And so I just kept coming. I kept coming to that corporate prayer. You want to learn to pray? Come to corporate prayer. Come and pray with people who know how to pray. Come and pray with people who prayer is part of their life. And you might look at them and be like, ooh, I'm so intimidated, but just keep coming. And you'll see that people have different personalities in prayer, but when you're around prayer, it kind of catches. Amen? And so that's what happened here. All the disciples, they all knew how to pray the way they knew. But when Jesus prayed, they were like, teach us to pray like that. And so over, and then we're going to get to what's commonly called the Lord's Prayer, all right? In Matthew chapter 6, it's in Luke, but we're going to look at the one in Matthew. Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 13. A lot of people have this memorized, and that's okay. It's okay. But there's more to this than just a memorized prayer. More to it. And so Jesus, he tells them, because they say, hey, teach us to pray like that. And really what had happened is Jesus never wanted this to be a prayer that was just our only prayer. That's not what Jesus wanted. And you can see through the word that that's not what he wanted. He was saying, this is a outline of what he had been praying in that place. He's saying, this is an outline. This is a way that you can do it. And so it was never supposed to be, oh, I'm going to pray just like Jesus. And how do I know that? Because when I get into the epistles, when I get into Paul's prayers, he never says this. He never says the same prayer. But his prayer has a very similar outline. Amen? And so here we go. So he says, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. And so do you want to just say that, or do you want to have the Spirit of God behind that? I want to have the Spirit of God behind that. I don't want something memorized, because prayer is a relationship. It's part of your relationship with God. And if every time you said to your spouse that you love them, if it was the same memorized script, what would happen? It would get old. It would get old, because sooner or later you would be going, I really love you. I've loved you since the beginning. I loved you on that day. I loved you on this day. I love this about you. Done. Next day, I really love you. I loved you on this day. I mean, that's how it would become, because that's how we are as human nature. But relationships are always growing and evolving and are new. And my personality comes into my relationship with God. Your personality is going to come into your relationship with God. So Jesus was saying, listen, here's an outline that will work. Here's what I just did. And so we want to look at what Jesus did, and we want to take what Jesus did, and we want to put it on our prayer and say, all right, I want my prayer to be my prayer, but I want it to be like Jesus's prayer. Amen? You get it? Are you guys with me today?
Yes.
Listen, I love to have fun in church. I love to have fun in church. But sometimes you got to get serious, and you got to say, listen, enough. Enough. You can stay the same, or you can choose to do what is your responsibility to do.
Amen.
And that is to pray. Everybody wants the good stuff with God, and you get that. But you're not going to grow in your relationship with God. You're not going to grow as a Christian unless you get your prayer life going. Stuff is just going to stay the same. You're going to stay bound naturally. Man, I don't want to be bound by natural things. I want to explode into supernatural things. I don't want a life that says 2 + 2 = 4. That's natural. I want a life that says what I have plus God equals what I need. Amen? I want that kind of life. I want the kind of life that says, oh, there's no cure but God. Amen? I want that life. That life comes from prayer. That's the only way that life comes, is from prayer. You see things and you see places that people are spiritually, you think, man, I want to get there. That comes from prayer. There's no substitute and there is no shortcut. Everybody's like, ooh, I want to be Joyce Meyer. We don't see the hours and hours and hours and hours of time that Joyce Meyer has spent in prayer. You don't do what she does unless you are praying behind the scenes. Everyone's like, oh, I want to do this. I want to do this. We want the outside, but we're not responsible enough to do the hidden. And that's why we have so many shallow Christians. That's just the truth. Where a wind blows, you're down. Little baby trouble. Phew. Oh, help me. Pastor Peggy, can you pray? Can you help me? You're just like, come on. Let's grow. Let's grow up. Let's be believers where our roots go deep. Amen. Let's be the tree that stands through every storm. The Bible says like the trees of Lebanon. Man, those trees would stand through anything. That's what we're supposed to be. And those roots are formed through prayer. There's no shortcut. And listen, you young people, your days of your parents handling all your prayer, those are over. You got to do it on your own. There comes a time where you got to be the one. I was like, well, my mom is praying for me. And that's great that your mom's praying for you. But now it's time for you to pray. Amen. Now it's time for you to pray. So we got to pray. So Jesus says here, and the first thing he says is our Father in heaven. Number one thing with prayer, I'm going to give you, Jesus did 7 things. How many can handle 7 things? If you'll do these 7 things every morning, it'll change your life. It'll change your life. Not that you're like, number one, number two. No, but you get this mindset, this lifestyle. You're continually in it. Amen. It's part of you. He says, hallowed be your, he says, our Father in heaven. I'm sorry. The number one thing is you got to connect with God relationally. You got to connect with God. That's like when you come into prayer, don't just come in like, I need this. I need this. I need this. Amen. It doesn't work like that. It doesn't work like that. And so Jesus is saying, listen, when we come into the presence of God, when he said, this is the example, this is the outline, this is how I do it. Jesus is saying, this is how I do it. How many want to do it the way Jesus does it? He goes, this is how I do it. He says, Our Father in heaven. First thing is, let's recognize. Let's worship God. I always like to start prayer with just a time of worship where I'm not seeking his hand. I'm looking for his face. Amen. I want to worship you. I want to recognize who you are in my life. You are my Father. Because, you know, there's lots of names that we could call God, but the one he likes the most is Father. That's the one he likes the most. Because we're saying to him, I know you're my Father. I'm your child. We're family. Amen? You want to start prayer off right? You want to start your day off? Good morning, Father. Good morning, Father. You're my Father. I'm your child. I'm a child of God. And you're my dad. Jesus said, start off recognizing who you're praying to. Start off with that time of just saying, Lord, I know who you are. Romans 8:15. I'm going to read it to you out of the New Living Translation. I know you probably have it in the NIV. It says, you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you received God's spirit when he adopted you as his own children. Now we call him, the Bible says, Abba, Father. You know what that means? It's like a way, it's like what we would say, Daddy. Daddy. You're my dad. He says, we're not fearful slaves. We call him Abba, Father. So the first thing Jesus tells the disciples, he says, listen, recognize God's your Father. Get in your place. Second part of the Lord's Prayer is hallowed, or you may say hallowed. Hallowed be your name. Oh, this is one of my favorite parts. I love to pray the names of God. I love to speak the names of God. Because when I speak the names of God, it reminds me who he is. Amen? He gave me these names so that I would know him. So that I would know him. How do you introduce yourself? Hi, my name is Peggy. That's how you introduce yourself. Why? Because I want you to know me. God gave us his name so he could say, hello, I'm Jehovah Jireh. I'm the Lord who sees ahead and provides for you. He said, hi, I'm El Shaddai. I'm the Lord who is more than enough for everything you need. You say, well, I don't know those fancy names. I don't know the Hebrew name, you know, we say it. But you know what? You know the names he calls himself in the New Testament. You know he's our healer. That's a name. He's our healer. He's the healer. He's our provider. He's the lifter of my head, the Bible says. He is my everything. Do you know that one of God's names is there? There. Doesn't sound like a great name, does it? Hello, I'm there. But listen to what it means. Wherever, he's there. Wherever you go, he's there. Wherever you're going, he's there. Wherever you've been, he was there. He is there. Isn't that powerful? I mean, you think about that word there, like, oh, it's over there. No, when God says, I am there, he's wherever I am. He's wherever I'm going. He's wherever the need is. He is there. Amen? And so Jesus said, hallowed be your name. Proverbs 18:10, this is out of the message. He says, God's name is a place of protection. The righteous can run there and be safe. You know, it's a great study. You know, just study your Bible. That's a whole nother message. Study your Bible. Just go through and find all the names of God. He said, I am the great I am. I am. You know, I always used to get hung up on that a little bit because I would be like, I am what? Right? I am what? I wanted there to be more, to be something. And people would quote it all the time, and I never had a sense of peace from it. I had a question from it. I am what? But then one day the Lord just spoke to me and he says, I am everything you need. I am. I am your forgiver. I am your redeemer. I am your righteousness. I am your shepherd. I am the beginning. I am the end. I am there. I am. Oh man, our prayer life is going to be so great when we say who God is. He's our Father. And we reference his name. God shows you his name to show you who he is. And so every day, just remind yourself, Lord, you're my shepherd. I hear your voice, and the voice of a stranger I don't follow. Lord, you are the King of Kings. There is none like you. Lord, you are the defeater of the enemy. You are the restorer of my soul. You are the great I am. You are the great I am. The next, Jesus says, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In our time of prayer, we need to put us aside and be more about God. Because what does he say? Your kingdom come, your will be done. It's about what God wants. What does God want? So often we go to prayer and it's all about what we want. And some people are going to prayer and it's all about what you want about things. But what about what God wants? What does God want? He says, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What does God want? You know what God wants? You know what's more important than anything to God? It's not material things. It's not stuff you want. It's none of that. It's people. People. In our time of prayer, Jesus is saying, he's like, listen, this is the outline you can use, and it's how I do it. He says, you need to pray for God's kingdom. And God's kingdom and his will is for people to get saved. When's the last time you prayed for the lost? It needs to be part of our prayer. Pray for the lost. Pray for people that don't know him. You say, well, who? Who do I pray for? Look around. Turn your TV on. There are lost and hurting people. Drive down Dixie Highway. There are lost and hurting people. Say, I don't know their name. You don't need to know their name. God knows their name. Amen. God knows their name. And so he says, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Man, when we pray, when you say, Lord, I want to walk in your will. I want less of me and more of you. Your kingdom, your way of doing things. And he says, Matthew 6:33, it says, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. But what comes first? We want all the things, which there's nothing wrong with things, but before we can go after the things, God's saying, first, seek his kingdom. Instead of going after, you know, listen, I'm all for prosperity. I'm all for it. I believe God wants you to be blessed. But before we go after that, let's go after souls. Yeah. Amen? Before I'm praying for a new car, Lord, give me a new car. Give me a new car. Let's say, Lord, save the lost. Because that's his kingdom. That's what he wants. He said, listen, you can have the things. God's not opposed to you having things. But he wants you to have your priorities right. He wants you to have your priorities right. And God's priorities are not the things. They come, but they come after what's important to him. Amen? They come after that. You know, when you understand that, you'll give up a lot of things for the gospel. Things won't be as important to you because you're like, man, I want to give to the gospel. I want to sow into the kingdom of God. And then you'll find that the things you're looking for, they'll come, but only when your priorities are right. And a lot of times you'll realize that that thing that you thought was so important, once you get God's priority, you don't even care. You don't even care about it. You know, I feel led to say this story. You know, Pastor Scott and I, we live in a small house. We live in a pretty small house. It's not in a gated community. It's kind of in a sketchy community, really, to be honest with you. You know? But we really love it there. And some of my family members are always like, when are you guys going to move? When are you going to move? You guys need to move. And that's on our heart, but that's for later. For right now, we're about the kingdom of God. Amen? That's more important to us right now. And God blesses us. And I'm not saying like, oh, look at us. We're such martyrs. No, I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying what once was kind of like a, wow. Because when you hear people say it, you have that moment where you're like, well, yeah, maybe I should have a bigger house and have more stuff. Maybe I should. I should have that stuff because that equals success to a lot of people. But oh, let's not let what people say determine our actions. Amen. Let's not let what other people's expectations, let them become ours. Because for us, there's nothing wrong with living in a big house. And if you live in one, invite me over. Amen. Invite me over for dinner or something. I love looking at big houses and model homes. I love all that stuff. I love it. And one day I'm going to have one of those. But for today, we're happy where we are. Because it's about the gospel. Amen. We couldn't do what we do if we had some ginormous house payment. We couldn't do it. Right, babe? We couldn't do it. But we choose, it's our choice because we want to seek God first. And again, I'm not saying, listen, I drive a nice car. Pastor Scott drives a nice car that somebody gave him. Hello, you know? And so I'm not preaching a poverty mentality. God wants you to have nice things and he wants you to live in a good place. And we do have a good house. I mean, you can come over. Our house is great. We love it. And we have a one bedroom, two office house. So you can't spend the night, but you can come over, you know? We have no guest room. We have no guest room in our house. And so I'm not saying that. I'm not preaching poverty here. I'm preaching priority. There's a difference. There's a difference. I'm not preaching poverty. God wants you blessed. And if you got a big, nice house, like I said, invite me over. Amen? But I'm saying let's have our priorities right. Let's seek the kingdom of God. And then all the things will come, the Bible says. The things will come. But Jesus is saying, listen, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Seek first his kingdom. And then the next thing Jesus says here, listen, remember, this is the outline. He's saying, listen, this is how you pray. It's not what you pray. It's how you pray. Next thing he says, give us this day our daily bread. God's saying, Jesus saying, listen, remind yourself that everything comes from him. Everything. Some people say, oh, it's my paycheck that bought that. No, it's God's mercy that allowed that paycheck that got that. Amen? I remember talking to a man one time, and he was talking about tithing. And I said, well, it doesn't even belong to you. The Bible says the tenth, the tithe, the ten, first 10%, it belongs to the Lord. And when you keep it, you're stealing. And he looked at me, and he said, God didn't make that. I did. And I looked back at him, I said, you got more trouble than a tithe, buddy. You got more trouble going on than a tithe. Because we need to recognize everything comes from God. It's the mercy of God. It's the blessing of God. It's the provision of God. It's the goodness of God that everything comes. Amen? And so Jesus says, give us this day our daily bread. Psalms 121, verse 1 and 2. Let me read this out of the New Living because it's just so good. He says, I look up to the mountains. Does my help come from there? And a lot of people think the mountains is like heaven. But what he's saying, in this time, the mountains were where the government was. It's where the government was. He says, he could be saying, I look to the government. Is that where my help comes from? This is a scripture for us today. Listen, our help does not come from the government. Amen. Our peace and our joy and our life is not determined by the government. He says, I look to the mountains. Does my help come from there? And he says, my help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. How many know that it takes more qualifications to make heaven and earth than it does to be the president? Especially this election, right? Especially. He says, does my help come from there? No, my help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. And so Jesus is saying, listen, remind yourself where your help comes from, who it's all coming from. Next thing he says, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Forgive us. He's saying, listen, first you got to take care of you. First take care of you. Get your heart right with God. And then he's saying, get your heart right with people. Did you get that? Get your heart right with God. Then get your heart right with people. Forgive us our debts. Those are mistakes, sins. Forgive those. And so you know what? I don't ever want to be okay with sin. I don't ever want to be okay with it. But you know what? We become okay with it. Because we just, whatever you just let sit, you become okay with. I'll never forget watching an episode of Everybody Loves Raymond. And they had this suitcase that nobody moved. You ever have that situation in your marriage where it's like you want them to put it away and they're waiting for you to put it away? And so it just sits there. And usually the other person doesn't even realize it's still sitting there. Right? And so in this episode, you know, the suitcase at the end of the thing and the wife, I forget her name, she wants Ray to move it and he's oblivious. And so then she puts really, really stinky cheese in it. Right? Because she is determined that she is not going to move the suitcase, that he's going to move it. And I don't remember exactly, but it reminded me of sin. Because that's exactly how sin is. You can't wait for somebody else to move sin out of your life. It's no one else's responsibility. It's yours. And the longer you let it sit, it begins to stink. But the longer you let it sit, even when it stunk, Ray was still totally oblivious to it. And that's how we can get with sin. And so every day, let's ask the Lord. The Bible says, search my heart, O Lord. Search my heart. Let's ask the Lord to search our hearts every day. Lord, is there anything going on that's not of you? And I guarantee he'll bring some stuff up. Because we all got stuff. We all got stuff. But just search my heart, Lord. I want to be right with you. I want to be right with you. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians that we examine our own hearts. We examine our own hearts. And it says when we don't, the Bible says that's why many are sick and weak. And one translation says die young. Listen, letting sin sit in your life causes you to be sick and weak. And the dreams that God has for you, they die. It's because you're letting that sit there. And so Jesus is saying, listen, part of our prayer, this is daily prayer, part of our time of prayer needs to be, Lord, search my heart. I want to be right with you. Is there something I'm watching I shouldn't be watching? There's something I'm doing. Is there somebody I need to forgive? I want to be right with you, Lord. I don't want to let anything in that's not supposed to be there. And listen, we all got stuff. All of us. And then he says, get your heart right with me. Get your heart right with God. And then with people. Let's not let unforgiveness cloud our day. Unforgiveness is a blessing blocker. Unforgiveness blocks prayer. So you can have the most incredible prayer life, but without forgiveness without forgiving people, nothing's going to work. The Bible says faith works by love. You guys are slow this morning. Hello? Faith works by... Got it. You guys got it. The answer crew over here. And so he says, listen, let's take care of stuff. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, notice the if. It's your responsibility to take care of sin. God made the way, but we got to do the confessing. And don't let anybody tell you some craziness that you don't have to confess sin anymore. That ain't right. We confess it. We confess it. He says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Listen, who doesn't want that? Right? Who doesn't want that? If we say like, hey, do you want to be cleansed from all unrighteousness? Yeah. Confess your sins. Oh, hold up a minute. Wait a minute. We don't like to admit we got stuff going on. But by not, it's going to get stinky. It's going to get stinky, and it's going to block those prayers. And then the next thing that Jesus does here, this is a powerful one. He engages in what we would call, and I don't want to freak anybody out, look at your neighbor and say, it's going to be okay. It's going to be all right, but this is a real thing. Sometimes we don't want to talk about real things because they might scare us a little bit. But listen, I'd rather know the truth. I want to know the truth. I don't want something sneaking up on me and somebody saying, oh, your pastor didn't tell you about that? Oh, probably because she thought it'd make you uncomfortable. No, no, no. It's going to make you uncomfortable, but it's better that you know it so that you can do it and you can have the benefit of it. And that is Jesus engaged in spiritual warfare. Some people are like, what? Listen, the enemy is defeated, but my job here is to make him stay in that position. My job, I have the authority of the name of Jesus. The believer's authority is to enforce the victory that Jesus provided for me. Because here's the thing, if the enemy thinks you don't know, he's gonna walk all over you. It's like when I'm babysitting the kids, you know, I got the kids, and they'll say, oh, you know, they'll want something. Not your kids. He's getting all nervous. Not your kids are good. Because your kids, I just give them whatever they want. I don't even ask. Oh, you want chicken fingers and fries for breakfast? Sure, why not? A Sprite? Sure, why not? I'm Mamaw. I'm not the enforcer. I don't even want to tell that story. People will look at you different, babe. But let's just say that Scott let Anaya, because she wanted some munchkins from Dunkin' Donuts. And so Scott's like, okay, sure, you know. And he says, how many do you get? And she says, very confidently and boldly, 25. And so Scott says, you can have 25 munchkins? She says, yep. And so he's like, okay. So then she tells me, Papa let me have 25 munchkins. So I say, no, he did not. And she says, oh, yes, he did. I said, there is no way that your papa let you eat 25 munchkins. There's no way that happened. I do not believe her at all. And she's like, oh, yes, he did. So I say to Scott, I'm like, did you really let Anaya eat 25 munchkins? And he said, yeah, she said she could. But you know what? That's exactly how the enemy is. Because when he takes your stuff and you say, can you take that? And he says, yeah. If you don't know the word, if you don't know to go to war for your stuff, you're going to be like, okay. No, you got to say no. That belongs to me in the name of Jesus. Give it back. Don't take it. If you messed with it, you got to fix it 7 times over, first of all. If you broke it in any way, you got to give me double for my trouble. We need to know how to fight this war. It's already been won. But just like any enemy, just like any kid, just like any dog, they'll always try to push for a little more. And if you let the enemy, that's what he's doing in our nation right now. He is just pushing and pushing and pushing and pushing. And that's why it's our responsibility to say no. No, in the name of Jesus. This is our land. Amen. And that's why he says over here in Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 12, he says, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood." Some of you just need to be like, I need to get that. Quit fighting and arguing and getting so upset and your face turning all red and freaking out about what people are saying. Your fight is not with people. He says, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." Our battle is the enemy. He is he's our enemy, the devil. People don't even like to hear that word anymore. It's like, oh, that doesn't exist. Oh, yes, he does. And his main focus, his to-do list every day is exactly the same. To do, destroy Peggy, destroy Angel, destroy Mark, destroy Josh, and put your name there. That is his agenda. And you got to be a person of warfare where you say, oh no, you picked with the wrong one. I got my battle gear on. I got my armor on. I got the sword. I'm ready to tell you exactly where you need to go. Amen. That's what we're supposed to do. And that's what Jesus says. He says, "And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." First of all, God does not lead you into temptation. The better translation is, "and lead us away from temptation." The Bible tells us that God does not tempt us. Somebody say, thank God for that, right? He says, "And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." We've been delivered. Amen. How many of you ever heard Raging Wilson sing, "I've been delivered," right? If you haven't, you need to go Google that. Raging Wilson, "I've been delivered." We've been delivered. But the enemy is going to try to get you to think you're not. And that's where you must enforce the victory that Jesus provided. And then the last thing he says, "For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever." For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Jesus closes out his outline to prayer and he says, remind yourself of who you're praying to. For yours is the kingdom. God is the all-powerful one. He is the only great I am. He is the only one who has defeated the enemy and made an open show of him. He is the King of Kings. He's not gonna be. He is. Amen. He is. Jeremiah 32:17 says, "O sovereign Lord, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and outstretched arm. Nothing is too hard for you." Nothing. Revelations 5:13, I love this. "To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever." Oh, isn't that good? Listen, when things look crazy, you need to remind yourself, my God sits on the throne. That means he's the king. My God loves me. My God is for me, not against me. Amen? But listen, we've got to speak the word. We've got to go to God with our prayer. We got to go to the Lord with scriptural prayer. Listen, this is not a prayer. Help me. Crying. Crying is not a prayer. Listen, if tears moved God, he would have already moved by now. That's not what moves God. The effectual, fervent prayers of righteous men and women moves God. That's what moves God. Your faith moves God. And so Jesus is saying, listen, this is the outline. And so take this home with you. Get your Bible app out and look at it. And when you're saying, you can say the Lord's Prayer, but add in everything. Add in you to the Lord's Prayer. Amen? Add in you to the prayer. And we're going to talk next week. We pray the word. We pray what God's word says. And then we can also pray in the Spirit. And we're going to talk next week about praying in the Spirit. But don't ever let praying in the Spirit be all the prayer you do. We need to pray the word and pray in the Spirit. And so if it kind of weirds you out when people pray in the Spirit, come next week so we can explain it. Because when we don't understand things, it weirds us out. But once we understand it, we'll be like, oh, okay, I get it. Praying in the Spirit is one of the best gifts God ever gave. It is so powerful and so amazing and life-changing. And we're going to talk about praying in the Spirit next week. Let's pray. Father, we pray right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, we are so grateful that you are such an amazing God. You are high and lifted up. And we're so thankful to you, Lord, that you are the great I am. There is none like you. And Father, I ask right now, just if there's anyone here in the sound of my voice who doesn't know you as Lord and Savior, they don't know you as the one who forgives all sin, who makes us brand new, who secures our place in heaven and rescues us from an eternity in hell. They don't know you as that Lord. I ask that you would stir their heart today. And when the invitation is given, they would give their heart to you. So if you're here today and maybe that's you who I was talking about, you don't know Jesus. You don't know him as the one who lifts your head. You don't know him as the one who heals your body. You don't know him as the one who rescues you, saves you, and makes you brand new, a child of God. You can know him just like that. The Bible says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And if you'll call on his name today, if you'll call on him as Lord, he will save you right where you are. If that's you and nobody looking around, if that's you, just raise your hand up big and tall. I always say you raise your hand because you're raising your heart up to the Lord. You're saying, Lord, see me as I call out to you. Anybody like that before we move on? Oh, thank you, Lord. Father, I pray for all of us here that you would give us a deeper, more personal understanding of the power of prayer. The Lord, that you would help us. Holy Spirit, you're our teacher, that you would teach us to pray as we should. I pray that these words that were spoken here today, that they give new life to our prayer life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hey, we're going to receive our offering. Who's ready? Let's move quick because somebody was long-winded today. I don't know who.